Welcome, listeners. This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is March 26, 2015, and tonight we're talking with Writing Project leaders involved in the Writing Our Future Family Literacy Initiative. I'm your host, Tanya Baker, at the NWP in Berkeley, California. Thanks to a generous grant from the Kellogg Foundation, six Writing Project sites had the opportunity to offer family literacy programs for English learners in grades K to 3 at High Needs School, where those Writing Projects were already doing professional development. This project has both allowed the Writing Projects to add family literacy programs to their local work and to work and learn together across sites about such work. Tonight, we'll hear from representatives of a number of sites involved in the Writing Our Future initiative. Although tonight's show is pre-recorded, if you are listening at airtime, we invite you to join us in the chat room where we will be posting links to materials related to tonight's program. Tonight, we welcome Victoria Fisher, ELL teacher at Jackson Elementary School in Norman, Oklahoma, Debbie Gervitz, Illinois Writing Project professional development leader and facilitator of the Family Literacy Grant at Lynn Elementary School in Chicago, Lynn Rhodes, director of the Aiken Writing Project in Aiken, South Carolina, Amy Sippert, first grade teacher at Merrill Elementary in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and Jessica Early, the director of the Central Arizona Writing Project. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Tanya.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
So tonight we're going to have the opportunity to hear sort of summary of the work as it stands on the ground right now in a number of places around the country, and I think we'll go ahead and get started in Arizona. Welcome, Jesse.
Hi.
Could you just start by telling us a little bit about the logistics of your program?
Sure. Our family writing project took place in two segments, one in the fall and one in the spring. And we had a team of teachers, two writing project teachers, and two teachers from our site school, ASU Preparatory Academy in downtown Phoenix. And this team held the fall and the spring projects. One took place from September through November, and the other one started in January and ended last week. We had over 30 families attend both of these projects, and we met in the fall in one big media center and had one group, and then the spring we split up to have smaller groups. And each of these meetings were bilingual Spanish and English.
That's fantastic. What was the focus of the work that you did together with families?
The curriculum focused on building academic literacy for K through third grade students, all ELL students for the most part, and then their parents. And we worked on writing narrative and expository pieces. And we focused mainly on building concrete literacy learning practices for parents to use at home to support their children's academic literacy, both at home but also to support what they were doing in school and to bridge those practices. So some examples of what we did were, you know, model and hold writing conferences, students practice dictation with their parents, questioning, modeling, side-by-side writing, listening, receiving a piece. And we also gave parents and their kids a lot of opportunity to support each other as they wrote to positive feedback. And then each week we gave families take-home literacy packets where they could read to their children, and we gave writing prompts for parents to write with their kids and then bring back the next week.
And was there anything, Jessica, that was particularly helpful or interesting to the parents who came to your program?
Well, an important bottom line for our time in implementing and designing these projects at the school was our commitment to making every workshop completely bilingual. So all instruction took place first in Spanish and then in English. All of our readings, take-home literacy packets, and correspondence with families was bilingual. And even though not all of our participants were bilingual, it was really important for all of the participants to take a part in the bilingual program. Many complimented getting the opportunity to hear and listen to Spanish, even if it wasn't a language they used. But the majority of families were bilingual. And This choice served to strengthen our program and our writing community, and especially made a difference given the fact that we work in an English-only instructional state. So it was an opportunity for students and families that they don't normally have.
Right. Were there any, well, actually I have a couple questions, follow-up questions. One is, do you, at your writing project, have bilingual TCs? Is that how you were able to offer the program in two languages, or how did your writing project handle that challenge?
Ooh, great question. So we, both of our TCs who are on the teaching team, Tracy Flores and Autumn Warnges, are bilingual. And I speak Spanish. I went to every project and more as a participant, and I brought my daughter along as well. And I speak a little bit of Spanish. But the three of us worked together to provide the Spanish, and then the teachers who weren't as comfortable in Spanish spoke did the instruction in English. So we teamed up to make it happen.
Oh, and then my other question, my other follow-up question before we talk about how it's your work's been received is, were there particular, you named some practices that you wanted to, that you incorporated into your family literacy nights. Were there particular practices of those that seemed to get more take-up than others or create more excitement or that you heard more about?
One of the most important practices that kind of was a thread throughout our work was using drawing as a pre-writing strategy and working with such young students and working in two languages. It was really helpful to start by brainstorming and drawing ideas and using picture maps and a lot of visual pre-writing strategies before writing. And this also helped to level the playing field in terms of language and literacy. Just because we had a range of students from kindergarten to third grade, and that's just, you know, that's a big range. So we found that was really successful.
And what has been the outcome or uptake at your school site?
We've received tremendous support and participation for this project. We had, you know, three times the number of families and students attend. The administration has been incredibly supportive. The elementary principal took part in our fall project with her whole family, and she's bilingual herself, and her whole family spoke Spanish and wrote in Spanish. And they advertised our project in the school newsletter, and they attended our final celebrations with families. And this just made a huge difference to the teaching team, to the families, and to the students.
Yeah, I bet. And do you see any potential impact of having done this work on your writing project site? I know you've done some work like this before.
Definitely. This work has become really the heart of the work we do out in schools and partnering with schools. And we've held other family writing projects at elementary, middle school, and high schools. We're hoping to continue this work and spread it through our wonderful PCs. And we also present this work and make it a focus of one of our days in our summer institute.
Oh, nice. That's excellent. Is there anything else? Jessica, we're going to do a tour around the country. Is there anything else that you haven't had the opportunity to say about your family literacy work before we move to Wisconsin?
I just want to say how much of a joy it's been to be a part of this project and to have the support of the National Writing Project and the Kellogg Foundation. And it's just, it's wonderful to see families come together and support their literacy learning. And the families have just every week thanked us for this work.
Nice. Lovely. Thank you, Jessica. All right. We're going on tour. We're going to head out to Wisconsin and welcome Amy Sippert. Hi, Amy. Are you still there? And are you maybe muted?
I'm sorry. I forgot I was muted. Hi, Tanya.
Well, that's so responsible of you and the community muting your phone. Hi, Amy. It's so great that you could be here tonight. Let's talk about the work at your writing project, at your Writing Our Future project. What's been the focus of your work?
At Merrill School, we've been trying to build academic literacy through lots of hands-on engagement in the content area disciplines. So we have monthly meetings, and each meeting has focused on a different content area. We started with art. We continued through math and science, cultures within our school community. We're gearing up for a big writing evening, and we just got done planning with the district STEM coordinator also. So some big things are coming together. So after the families share a light meal together, we participate in a hands-on activity, and we write about the experience as we're going through.
Nice. Could you tell us about maybe one of your, maybe describe to us one of your favorite discipline nights so far?
Yeah. I was thinking about that. It's hard to select, but I guess I would have to tell you that our art night was my favorite. One of our local teachers donated his time and expertise and came in and showed our families about how art has impacted his life. And then he brought a tile project, and he walked us through drawing about his family on just a ceramic tile with permanent marker. And then every family had the opportunity to make one for their whole family or one for each participant. And we were able to make it a permanent situation with some special glaze. And then we also wrote about the experience. The best part of the whole night was seeing all the families interact with each other and move from table to table and talk about their illustrations and what they were going to write about. It was really powerful.
That's powerful. You say, Amy, in that night, was most of the conversation about the content of the art, or was there a lot of talk, you know, using art language?
I would say there was some of both. Just first of all, Ryan Anderson is the one who did the presentation. He just talked about how art is all around the world, you know, in every little aspect of your life. And then people started kind of jumping onto that thinking and sharing that thought and then using some of the language he used in his presentation. We even saw some of that come through in the writing afterward. It was great.
Oh, nice. Great. What kind of things did people write after doing their tiles?
Some people were very like, oh, I want to do this for every year when my child is in school as a memory piece. And then other people were thinking of like the art and the world around them and how it would be great to do something like this with their child and just draw while they were outside and write about that experience. We learned after that event to really take a look at our feedback sheets and make sure we ask questions specific to that particular experience. So it was a good learning curve.
So these sound, I mean, as with that as an example, these sound like they're joyous and exciting and get people talking and writing and experiencing the disciplines that their kids have, that their kids are exposed to in school. That's all so great. What would you say are some of the important outcomes of your work so far?
I would say that the families have really started to see more opportunities to infuse literacy in their daily lives as they talk and hopefully write about the tasks that are going on, you know, simple things like making grocery lists or talking about their family stories. We've also planned in time to read at each event, and we've created book lists for families about that particular evening's topic that they can take with them. So that's been helpful, and we're hoping that it's impactful in their homes. We also have seen a really great outpouring from our community. We've called local agencies and they're donating things. Like for our notebooks, one of our printing companies donated 150 notebooks, so we didn't have to take care of that on our own. Local businesses are offering things like door prizes. At that first event, we were able to give parents the opportunity to the door prizes the opportunity to go and actually have an art experience at a local art store, and there was also a place where they could fire their own, like, earthenware. So that was a great outpouring from the community. And then, you know, a second outcome of this work is the sense of community within our building. our principal brings her family every time. The teachers bring their families. We have at least 50% of our staff have been volunteering who aren't on the core team of planning.
That's so nice.
In the last year, yeah, it's been great. You know, five times the normal amount that we had the year before for just participation. So we went from having like about 20 people in attendance to about 100.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and the feedback from parents is that they love being side by side and working with their children and seeing what they're doing in school and having the opportunity to try it themselves.
Excellent. Amy, I noticed that you talked about having reading at every meeting and that you gave parents a book list, and that sparked my memory that you also did one of your sessions at the local public library. Is that right?
We weren't able to go to the library because of the whole transportation logistic, but our children's librarian came in and showed all of the things that they have to offer in the children's section and what the library can do for you. And she brought prizes, and children were able to participate in a contest they had going on at that time. It was around Halloween, so they could see they were having a drawing contest and a pumpkin decorating contest. So it was a great connection that way. And we were hoping that it would inspire parents to go and get library cards, which it did in some cases.
Wow, very nice.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, Amy, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Jessica. Are there other things about your family literacy work that you haven't had the opportunity to say in our brief opportunity to talk?
I think the greatest thing that has happened within our school community is we're already thinking about what can we do next year? How can we incorporate more writing into our family nights? What could we do to build capacity for families in academic learning? And so that's been a great outpouring. And the other thing that's been wonderful is people in other schools in my district have been asking, like, oh, what are you guys doing at Merrill? How can we make that happen at our school? So that's been exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. How does the word spread in your district? How did people at other schools?
Thank you for asking that. We have something called the Superintendent's Good News Report. So each month we submit a slide about what's happening at Merrill and how we are infusing writing and reading in our family nights. And thanks to the Kellogg Foundation, we're able to make this happen for our school community.
That's so nice. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's great to know that your colleagues in your district all read the superintendent's good newsletter and that they're excited for your work. That's excellent.
It's been a really great opportunity for our school. We're happy to have this privilege.
And we're happy to have you in our community, Amy. It's been so great to hear about your work. I think then that we will continue. I know I feel like a tour guide now. I'm just like, oh, it's here on our left. Let's head over to South Carolina. Lynn, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
What does Writing Our Future look like at your site?
Okay, well, we've been working for the past year. Actually, this is our second year with working with Ridge Spring, Mineta Elementary, and last year we were working with teachers really in grades 3-8. So this has been a lot of fun to really kind of refocus the work we've done. It's a rather small, agricultural, very rural area, and we're working with the kindergarten teachers up through grades 3 now. And so when we first started, and of course going to Memphis, you know, with the team, went looking back to last summer and getting to know the two teachers, we're working specifically with one kindergarten teacher and one first grade teacher, Melvia and Jessica, and then also our ESOL specialist at USC Aiken has been very involved. And we've been working with the ESOL teachers and coaches at the school. And what's really been kind of interesting is that we started in September, the first family night. We had the families that were there create what we called a a literacy blanket. And each family, each person got to draw or design a quilt square. And then all of those squares were joined with other squares that were created not only by the other families, but by the teachers as well. And then this particular quilt was hung in the main hallway, a literacy blanket that everyone could see walking into the school. And then for the second event, which was in November, we focused on sharing recipes. And we were thinking, well, that would be, the first night was kind of a more narrative type of writing. The second night was more of an informational kind of writing. And so we started by doing trail mix. And again, we kind of initiated how do you have a recipe, and we offered it in both English and in Spanish because the families that are in this community are all Hispanic. And so we had a great deal of fun sharing recipes. The second night was not quite as well attended as the first night, so we just kind of crossed our fingers in February when we held our third family event, and we had a game night. But that was the best night we've had so far. We had so many families at game night, and we played matching games, and we played number games, and we played alphabet games, and we just had a great time. We had a real good turnout for game night. So that was, I thought we really reinforced all of the skills with numbers and letters and reading and talking, just having great conversation.
Yeah.
With the teachers and the families and the children, because I'd be sitting at a table and there would be, you know, another teacher there, and there would be a couple of children there, and then there would be a couple of parents there, and another teacher or two might drop in and take part in the game. And we just had such a good time. And
nice.
I felt like everything that, you know, Kellogg said to be joyful really happened in that particular third night. And so the last night is going to be coming up. We're going to be having a fiesta on March the 30th. And we've already got twice as many reservations as we've had for any other night that have been turned in. And I just think this is going to be kind of the celebration that we've all been looking forward to. So we're having a wonderful time with this. I think we've certainly created the community that we hope to see, you know, at the beginning of this particular project.
That's really lovely. I was wondering the same question that I asked Jessica earlier. How are you able at your writing project site to offer your nights in bilingual, in two languages? Do you have teacher consultants or teachers at the school? How's that work at your site?
And that's been, well, we have a teacher at the university who is bilingual, and so she's been very involved in this. Vicki Collins has been kind of taking the lead and making sure that everything was offered in both languages. And then we've also had the ESOL coaches that are working with the children at the school who have come, Betsy Davenport in particular, has come every night, and she has been able to, you know, talk with the mothers and the grandmothers and the fathers and the adults who maybe aren't quite as fluent. And one thing that we've also noticed is that we do often have an older child who attends. So we've
mm-hmm.
seen that older sibling who kind of works as the go-between. I think in a lot of instances that's very common in the school setting, that if you need to communicate something to the parents, you have to kind of go through the children who are already somewhat fluent. And I think that one thing I've noticed is that at the first meeting, the teachers who did not speak Spanish sort of held back. And it was sort of like, I don't quite know how to talk to the parent. I don't speak Spanish, and I know the parent doesn't speak English very well. But as we've gone along, we've realized that we really don't have to speak the language in order to speak and have fun with each other. So that's been really, I think, eye-opening, especially for the teachers who were not as comfortable at the beginning of the project talking with the parents. And now they feel that they can sit down next to the parent and maybe through a smile or maybe through some gestures or maybe through another child who's there, have that conversation, have that communication that maybe they were afraid to even try to have at the beginning of the project. So that's been really reassuring. I think that's been a good thing to come out of this.
I want to point out, Lynn, that I would agree. I mean, I don't think that you really named that as a primary outcome. You really focused on families and their children, but certainly if it makes, if it helps teachers to communicate with children and their families who speak other languages, that's fantastic. And how has your work, clearly with your growing numbers of participants and the excitement around your fiesta, your work's been really well received with families. How about at the school?
Well, we've been getting so much support from the administration, the principal, the assistant principal. Again, it's a very small school. It's a very agrarian and rural community. So I could tell at the very beginning of the project that already some of the teachers and parents and certainly the administration were really supportive of this idea. But the principal made this one of the kind of options for doing, she requires her teachers to do regular kind of community service events. And this was one of the primary ways that the teachers could meet her expectations. She was really the driving force behind that. So we've had kind of a rotation of 6 to 8 to 10 teachers who've come in on a volunteer basis with each night. And I'm pretty sure that by the time we get to the end of the project, almost every teacher who's at the school will have participated. So I think that's really important. And I had understood that we were going to have some of the high school ESL teachers coming in as well for the final event. So I think it's going to be nice to have the continuity between, again, the elementary school, middle, and high school teachers. And we've gotten some real interest from the whole district because there are other ESL teachers, you know, who are participating, working with students in other schools in this district where we have something like 40 schools. So I think that this has a lot of potential for, at the end of it, continuing in that setting, that the district, because they've seen that this makes such a difference at this one school, that they will continue to do things like this, and maybe it'll just be like that ripple in the pond that it'll, you know, keep going.
That's so great. I don't know if I know, it's interesting that your English language specialists, even from the high school, are interested in what's going on. Have you heard anything specific from people who are working with English language learners about the impact of the program that you haven't had the opportunity to say already?
I haven't, and I know that that's something that I want to make sure that we capture after this next event, once we finish at the end of March. I feel like at some point early in April, I need to sit down, or we need to sit down again as a team and really have that conversation about, now that we're, you know, where we are, what do we want to really send out as a message to the district? We've been doing the, you know, the school newsletter, and we've been doing some of the kind of communication beyond the school, but how can we make sure that everybody knows that we had this impact and that it was a good thing to do and it can continue? So that's sort of the last part of the plan, I guess, is to make sure that we don't just leave that hanging and not capture some of that.
That's great. We'll look forward to hearing from you after after you've done that. And congratulations on your work so far.
Thank you. And again, I really appreciate that we were part of this, that NWP and Kellogg were able to give us the assistance to do this work, because it's been very, very rewarding.
I'm so glad. That's excellent. Lynn, we're going to head now to Chicago, Illinois, and we'll bring in Debbie. Debbie, I know your work really built from some professional development and curricular work that you were already doing in professional development at the school. So maybe we'll start with you by starting from the goals that you really had for your family literacy project.
Hey, great. Thank you. We began, when we received this grant application, I went right to the principal and the teams, K to third grade teams. I was meeting with them and completing writing workshop and facilitating with kindergarten through third grade when they implemented the new Lucy Calkins units of study. So at our monthly meeting, I discussed this with the teachers and they gave us some input. I then met with Ms. Mackin, who is the principal, and she spoke with her faculty members, and two dual language teachers came forward and said they really wanted to be part of the planning and implementation if we received the grant. Ms. Mack and Sabrina Blanca, who are the two dual language teachers, and I developed the following goals. It was to familiarize parents with the academic language vocabulary that is currently utilized in classrooms. The second goal was to develop parents as knowledgeable volunteers who will work directly with students in classrooms. Many parents already volunteer at the school but do not yet have the expertise to help with academic activities. We wanted to honor and include students' home culture in Linnaeus classrooms and use students' writing to do this. And we also wanted to make sure that the parents understood the type of writing instruction that was currently being followed. All of the above were written in support of our ultimate goal, which was to have a school-home initiative with focus on sustainability once the grant was completed.
Those are big goals. And I was really struck, I remember when I read your application even, by this idea of providing an opportunity for parents to become more knowledgeable volunteers so that they might have, you know, a different kind of role in the classroom. I think that's lovely. Given those goals, how did you design your program?
Okay, we designed the program to accomplish the goals, obviously. First and foremost, it was an extension of the writing instruction and curriculum that was currently taking place in pre-K to third grade classrooms. Although the goal said K, this is a very inclusive school, and most of our parents start in the pre-K, and that's how we really get our volunteers and our parents to become actively involved in the school. So we decided to invite our pre-K as well. Each session was a direct link to the classroom writing instruction and the implementation of the Lucy Calkins new units of study in opinion, information, and narrative writing program. We are a Common Core state, and we just completed the PARC testing, and we believe that we needed something in writing that represented Common Core state standards. At each family literacy event, we would include reading, writing, listening, and speaking, and we followed the following writing workshop routine. We started with a connection, which was a read aloud, which was the mentor text that was going to be utilized for the writing workshop. We then did the teach through demonstration, and we actually used the language, "Today I'm going to teach you." Students and families were actively involved and discussed and practiced before they wrote anything before pen to paper. Then the link was side-by-side writing with the families, and then a share in small groups, and then with the large group. Each of our family literacy after-school events focused on one genre of writing and took that into account.
That's really interesting. What did those different genres look like in the way that you planned and implemented these sessions?
Okay, our first family literacy after-school event, and please note that it's an after-school event. In this particular school, many parents work two or three shifts, and they have always found that the best attendance would be when it started directly when the school day ended, because many of the parents do come, or families do come, to pick up the children at the end of the school day because it's not always safe to walk home alone. So sometimes you could walk by that school at dismissal, because it is a walking school, it is a neighborhood school, and you can see about 100 families or parents outside waiting for their children. Approximately 150 attended, which represented about 50 families. The event began in the multipurpose room, and we started with a healthy snack. We are only allowed to bring in healthy snacks. That is the Chicago School District policy. And they were welcomed, and then the parents, of course, enjoyed the snacks, which included fruit and cheese and crackers and things as such. They sat down with their child, and there were books that were scattered throughout, and they enjoyed a story, families together, and then we began the event about 15 minutes after parents, after the families arrived. Ms. Mackin, the school principal, then introduced the team, which was Blanca, Sabrina, and myself, and Blanca and Sabrina then would read aloud, and the one that we selected for the narrative stance was Celebrations, and was a dual language book, and it was utilized as a mentor text for the writing workshop. Following the read aloud, we split into two sections, and the rationale for this was that the school has English-only classrooms as well as dual language classrooms. We wanted to honor both, but I guess politically it was important to do both because this school also has an English-only console and a Spanish console. So we decided that we would start as a unit and we would end as a unit, showing the unity, but we would also instruct in the language in which the students were being instructed. We split into our two sections, followed the same routine in both, and our team, along with 10 Linnae faculty volunteers, attended and assisted throughout. Our second literacy night took place in winter, and it was March 9th, which followed another snowstorm. The focus was informational writing, where each family wrote a family recipe in the form of a how-to book. The same format was utilized. Approximately 125 attended the event, which was quite positive in light of the cold weather, snow, and flu bug. Our final one will take place in spring, and our focus will be opinion writing. It was interesting. We kept going around about what topic should we use, so we put that on our closing exit slip, and it was unanimous that our parents wanted us to use the topic of eating healthy because it was very difficult to do at home, and they wanted some tips on how to do that. So that's what we're going to do for opinion writing. Once again, we will follow the same format as in the past, as well as utilize academic language and instruction currently utilized in the classroom at Linnae School.
That's so nice because we talked to you recently and you had a different idea about what your opinion writing might be. So you used this opportunity to get information from the parents and made a decision based on their interests. I think that's fantastic.
Then we also, when we were doing each one of our workshops, we send our parents home with the language that's being used. So, for example, we wanted to use the positional languages like with a how-to, and so we wrote them in both Spanish and English. And that was what came through the most because our children do leave with a goodie bag with books that have been donated through Grace, which is Heinemann, in Spanish and English. So we made sure to have dual language books in each of the packets as well as a writing notebook and other things that have been both part of the grant funds as well as donations from the area around. What we did find when our parents said that they were very grateful for everything we got, the thing that they liked the most was the listing of how to use the informational words and they asked if we could come up with more things for the summer for them to do using the same language and the same type of instruction.
Nice. That's lovely. It makes me wonder, what do you think... it seems very responsive, this program, and you had these clear goals. I'm wondering what you're noticing as impacts from your work.
What we've noticed the most has been that parents have started to volunteer more readily during the school day and have asked to be in the classroom. Generally, they'd like to be, they were more like invisible. They come in and say, can I do some copying for you? Can I, and even reading with a child was something that they didn't feel as comfortable with. But somehow, they feel much more comfortable working within the classroom and working with students who are doing their writing and watching the workshop taking place in the classroom. And the Linnae faculty have noted that there has been an increase of the parent volunteers during the writing workshop. And they attribute that to the family attendance at the Family Literacy After School Writing Workshop. On a side note, I just wanted to note that they have done some side-by-side teaching in the past, but they did that at the upper grades. For example, when they're getting ready for constitution testing, which our eighth graders have to take, many parents like to attend those sessions because they also are trying to pass for citizenship, so they need to pass the constitution test as well. So it's been a really nice continuation of getting parents to come in and being part of the academic community as well as the social community.
really nice. Do you think you'll have an opportunity through the work of the grant to interview any of these parents who have been both at the parent night and volunteering in the classroom to talk to them about their sense of what happened?
I think I will because, like you know, I am part of the community in the such that we do our summer reading program there from National Lewis University and bring our graduate students in to tutor the students from Lanay, which is our fifth year there. So many of the parents that have actually come to the meeting, and we also have a summer writing camp, and so many of the students who come to this as well have attended both our tutoring as well as our summer writing camp. So many of them come up to me and said, well, are you going to be here this summer? So even if I don't have time or I think that we've developed, I think more importantly, this relationship between, you know, the university, the school, and the parents that they trust and have even come to our open houses and such at the end of our summer tutoring, which has taken a lot of time to get that developed, that feeling of comfort between. And I'm sure between Sabrina, Blanca, and myself, we will be able to interview some of our parents. And we could talk probably further about that because I think that would be an interesting follow-up as well.
Well, thank you for sharing this this model with us, Debbie, and the way you built it onto the professional development and the instructional decisions that were being made at the school. I think that's really fantastic. Before I move on, I'm wondering, as I've wondered with everyone, is there anything about the program that you haven't had the opportunity to say, anything that you thought, oh, I should have said this?
Well, I do want to thank you. I want to thank the National Writing Project for providing this opportunity because, of course, the only thing that the school wants to know is, like, are there going to be things in the future? We're always concerned about the sustainability. This is a pretty stable faculty, and the parent community is becoming more involved. So we hope that we'll, just by what we've accomplished so far, that we can continue this type of work.
Yeah. I mean, it really does sound like it's been building in a sensible and stable way. That's really nice. Well, thank you, Debbie, for your work. And we are going to talk to Victoria in Oklahoma. So, and I hope after we talk to Victoria to bring everybody back and just think a little bit together about the work. But hi, Victoria.
Hi, Tanya.
How are you?
Sorry.
It's okay. I pronounced the school in Chicago, Lanay, wrong, so I apologize for that, too. It is great to talk to you, and I thought maybe we'd just start by talking about how you went about designing the program at your school.
Well, we are program very much based on Hispanic outreach nights that we've had in the past at our school at Jackson Elementary. But instead of really having two or three meetings a year, we've now had five, and we've incorporated writing as a part of that. So the Oklahoma Writing Project and Jackson Elementary, we have then created five events. And basically, we've used a book called En mi Familia as a mentor text, and use that as our kind of our springboard for each of our writing. And so they've been very much centered on personal experiences, personal narrative type writings. And for each of the events, we call them conexiones, is the name for our evenings. We start with 6 o'clock with pizza, and usually we tried a couple of other things, but pizza seems to be the most successful. And then we, have 15 minutes of where everybody arrives, and I greet them, and I speak Spanish. And then we have a literacy topic, which has included then writing. And then we end our evenings with a library checkout and a topic of interest, usually something that I have chosen. And this we do to bring in the attendance necessary to run this, because there are many families, you know, no matter how lovely our writing events are, that will really only come if you provide something extra. So we've tried to do something, and I can talk more about that later. But So after the five events, we've had all our five, but we will have a sixth meeting to celebrate the publication of our anthology, which we are in the process. We're actually going to see the first draft of the anthology on Monday, and that's writings that parents and students have done together, but often also separately, like each individual person has done their own writing. And that's that.
That's fantastic. I'm sure people are going to want to hear a little bit about your anthology. What kind of things are published in there?
Different things. These are the texts that are, or we've used the En Mi Familia text. So one of the things that we wrote was about a family event. Where families wrote about a specific event that they do in their family to describe that, and with drawings and text. Another was everybody brought a recipe, which was something that our principal really felt strongly about, because he said this will make them use the anthology once it's been published. They will turn to it to find those recipes, and why that recipe was special. We also did some writing in our classroom. We have ELO pullout classes. We've actually done a lot more than just these five events, and we probably won't have time to talk about that. But we do. We have roughly 100 students of Hispanic background that rotate into me and one of the other teachers' small groups. And so we've done some writing with the students in our classroom also, and let them write in Spanish, those who wanted, which was a really, really unique experience, actually, something we would not have done if we hadn't had this grant. So some of those things will be in there, too, that the kids had written about, and they wrote some of their favorite things. I think one of the books that we read as a mentor text for that was Knuffle Bunny. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with that story,
uh-huh.
It's just a story about, you know, a little kid who loses something very precious to them, and they got to write about something that was precious to them, and it actually turned out really cute.
Nice. So I know, Victoria, it's been great working with your team from Oklahoma, because also like the Chicago team, your principal is a very big part of the thinking and planning team, and then you are a very strong presence at the school, and I know you have done a lot to plan and implement this. How are your writing project colleagues involved in the family nights?
Well, they're always there. And are you talking just the team? Or because we have had, one of the things that I should mention is when we do our writing is we start out in each event, we start out whole group. You know, everybody's welcome. And, you know, we have, you know, some little introductory something. But then we've broken up. We found that our groups were so large that to try to write as a whole group was just too cumbersome. And so after the first meeting, we brought in Oklahoma Writing Project teacher consultants who worked with a small group. And so each teacher consultant worked with a translator. So if we had five teacher consultants, we had five translators. And they then formed small groups. And that worked really well because it became a much more intimate setting. Where every group, you know, could do, you know, everybody worked on the same thing, but they could, you know, tweak it to based on the people who were in the group. So the team, when we've met, those of us who work at the school, you know, we get the word out and we, you know, set the library up, just very practical things. And then, on the university side, they would get the Oklahoma Writing consultants, and they also were in charge of getting the translators because they were paid through the grant, and so it became a natural part of their duties.
So
did that answer your question?
That answers that question. I keep asking everyone how they're dealing with bilingual and translating, so that's great. That's another another new example of how a site might do that. Thank you. I also was wondering, I know you've already given us kind of an outline of what the what your each family night looks like, but I was caught by this idea about having something that the families need there. So could you give us a couple of examples of like a speaker or community resource that that you drew on for that?
Yeah, and this is also based on what we've done in the past, and I felt like it was important to continue that so that parents would want to come because we wanted to keep attendance high. So one of the things that we did this year was we invited Dream Act Oklahoma, which is an organization out of Oklahoma City, which is just, you know, 20 minutes north of us. And they came and spoke, and again, just like 10 or 15 minutes, about immigration. They spoke specifically this last time about the executive order, and then had some information about their events and invited people to ask questions and also, you know, like us on Facebook, come to our events, those sorts of things. And then another time we had the Center for Children and Families, which is a center here in Norman, Oklahoma, that helps children and families. And they sent their Spanish-speaking counselor to talk about the services that they offer. And she is currently the only Spanish-speaking counselor in our town. And the fact that she's able to offer her services on a, you know, sort of a sliding scale to, you know, families might otherwise not afford those types of services. So that was very well received also. She had a flyer and talked about, you know, different things, you know, what counseling really addresses. So that was very positive. And we would always put that information that those, you know, resources would be there on the flyers. And so when DreamHack Oklahoma came, we had a record attendance and we had not problems, but we had to be creative in how we divided up our groups for the writing.
Yeah. Thanks, Victoria. I feel like we have a picture of the work on the ground. I know you may not know, but the National Writing Project internally is sometimes called the National Eating Project, and I know you've already talked about the importance of that.
Yes.
But also, I love the story that you've told us about the way you strategically use cookies, and I was wondering if you might share that with us, too.
Yes. So, because, actually, this happened by chance, one of the first meetings that we had, Audra Plummer from the Oklahoma Writing Project came in early in the morning and had gone to Sam's Club and gotten a huge box of, you know, Costco and Sam's.
Right.
And it was sitting on a bookshelf in the middle of our room because our classroom is divided in two sections because we see groups on either side. And so, of course, you know, 100 kids rotate in and out throughout the day and they're like, what are those cookies for? and so then we said, oh, it's for the party tonight. What party? A conexiones. And so everybody was very, very excited. And we noticed when the kids are excited about coming, they'll remind the parents and make them come. And another thing that we had last year was we would dismiss the kids into the gym. This was before the writing grant. So we obviously didn't have that chunk of time where we wrote with the students. And then the kids were dismissed into the gym, and we had games in there for them while we had information for the parents. And so it was important for us when we had that little guest at the end that the kids still got to go out and play in the gym because for some of them that was the highlight of the evening, you know. So just little things like that. I mean, you can have great ideas and cognitive goals and academic things that you want to do, but unless you have those little pieces that make people come and show up and be excited about it, it's not going to work as well.
Yeah, exactly. Great. I just love that story about those cookies, so thank you for sharing it.
No problem.
And, of course, the underlying importance of it as well. The last question I have for you, Victoria, we're getting near the end of the hour, is what do you hope your project is accomplishing?
Well, I know that we're accomplishing a lot. Just seeing from each writing session, the sharing of writing pieces that we have done has become much easier, for lack of a better word. It's a process that has become very comfortable for parents and kids alike, and everyone's eager to share as well as support others in their sharing. And that's been a very noticeable difference from when we began, when people were hesitant and had to be prodded a little bit to share what they had written. And we feel like an author's chair is an important piece, and that has just become a very natural part. The other thing that we've noticed is we've had increased attendance by our Hispanic families at other events, such as math night or parent-teacher conferences, really anything to do with the school. They're also less shy about coming to the school and asking questions or to seek solutions to all kinds of issues or concerns. And we've also noticed increased awareness of how important the first language is. Many of our parents, you know, think that English is the most important thing. And obviously, English is important, but I think that there's a completely different awareness now of what role the first language plays in academic development.
Those are some really powerful outcomes, Victoria. Thank you for sharing. We just have three minutes left, so I'd love to bring everybody back in. And you've all worked individually, and you've had the opportunity to talk about the work individually. I wonder if there's anything that you would say about the impact of working with each other. If there's, you know, if there's anything particular you've noticed or learned from one another, or anything you'd like to say about being part of the cohort.
Are you talking about working together as a team on site, or are you talking as we have learned from each other across the nation through the grant?
I was really thinking more of the second question, Victoria. Thanks.
Okay.
It's been a real pleasure to get to know everybody, you know, who's been at all of the different sites, and listening to what has been accomplished has always given me ideas to take back. It's just like, oh, yeah, we could do that, too.
I think I appreciate that in this particular project, it's been small, so that we were able to have that 1 week together where we got to see a face with the people and build our foundational knowledge together. And then the continuation of the monthly calls have been also very informative and provide more thinking as we problem solve this all together as a group.
Thank you, Debbie.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. I feel like each month when we get feedback from each other, that kind of makes you reflect on what you're doing at your program site, what's going well, and what you can take from your cohort and bring back to your particular site. It's been very helpful. And it's all about relationships. You know, we're building relationships with each other, and then we're taking that back to our school and building that strong, safe foundation for relationships within our the site that we're working through. It's been helpful and pretty joyous, I must say.
Thank you, Amy. We are just about out of time, and so I think that is a great place for us to stop. And I would say, about building on what you and Debbie said, that the group has been a really nice size, but also just a lovely group of teachers and teacher consultants and professional development providers. And I do feel like it's, for me too, it's been a very joyous project to work on. So you are all so generous. Your thanks to the Kellogg Foundation and to the National Writing Project. I'd I'd like to close just by saying thank you to all of you and your colleagues for this beautiful work that you're doing and for your continued participation in the initiative and our opportunities to think and learn together. And most of all, or most immediately, thank you for the time to share this work with the larger network on the radio tonight. Thank you.